All right, welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310. So after his name is normally, as we approach an election, we always invite the clerk of Marion County to come on the program. But, you know, the clerk, Beth White, is term limited. She cannot run for re-election, so she's decided that, you know, she wants to serve. She's done a great job serving the people of Marion County for 8 years. Now she wants to serve the people of the state of Indiana as our next Secretary of State. So I think besides her clerking, she's been out Secretary of Stating around the state. But in the House, we've got somebody, because everybody that's on the team at the Marion County Clerk's Office, they all are a team. So they all know everything. So the clerk, Beth White, sent Myla Eldridge. She's a team leader with the Marion County Clerk's Office, an 8-year veteran of the Marion County Clerk. And in her off hours, when she's not in the clerk's office, she is the Democratic candidate for Marion County Clerk moving forward in this year's election. Myla, welcome. Glad to have you.
Thank you, Amos. It's good to be here this afternoon.
All right, so here we are. We're approaching election time. Walk us through the most important things the community needs to know to get ready for the primary, because we're all 2 years rusty. We haven't had an election since November 2012, and it is weird when you got to gear back up after not going a whole year with any kind of elections.
You are absolutely right. 2013 was a non-election year, and we do have a very important election this year. Just let me say this, Amos, to you. Like, this morning I was over at the naturalization ceremony registering new citizens, and Tanya Walton Pratt, the Honorable Tanya Walton Pratt, actually administered the oath of office
to our new citizens.
To the new citizens. And you know, it's just always amazing how excited that the new citizens are to register to vote.
So they ready.
So they ready.
It's just the folks that been here all their lives. They're the ones that ain't ready.
They aren't ready, but they're going to be election ready after today's program.
All right. So anything new this year?
Yes, absolutely. Let's talk about the voter registration application.
Yeah.
As you all know, last year, our state legislators decided to revise the state voter registration application. Mm-hmm. Right. So the revisions require whomever is taken custody of the state voter registration application is required to provide. It's a two-part application. There's a receipt and then the application. Whoever is taking custody
who's doing the register.
Of the application is required to provide their name and their address on both pieces of the application.
On the actual voter registration application, the state's voter registration application, and a receipt.
Yes, and there is also a 10-day rule now that from the date that you receive that voter registration application, and this is the state form,
right,
you're required to have that form submitted to the voter registration, the Marion County Voter Registration Office within 10 days.
So if people are out in the community and they come up to a Kroger or a Marsh or a community center and somebody is standing out there with a white form and the form has the seal of the state of Indiana on it, they have to, and they register with that individual, they should not leave there without getting a receipt.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Now there's another kind of form that the federal government uses under the Motor Voter Act. That's a federal form. Does that have like a federal seal on it, like a seal of the U.S. or something?
I don't think it has a seal on it.
So this is the form that does not have the Indiana seal on it.
It does not have the Indiana seal on it.
All right. And can those be used by people out in the community?
Those can be used. The federal form, everyone, we are encouraging, even the Marion County Voter Registration Board members are encouraging everyone that is doing a voter registration drive to use the federal form instead of the state form, because the state form, you can use either or. Mm-hmm. I want to be clear about that. You can use either form. However, the state form just requires a little more information and work than the federal form.
The other thing is this state form requires the person that's filling it out to give their name and their home address. And since people may not know who they're registering, that could put a person perhaps at risk.
Well, that is correct. Like I said, I was over at the federal courthouse today registering new citizens. That was 65 people.
Mm-hmm.
So if I use the state form, that means I am providing actually my contact information twice because the state form requires you
to put it on there.
On the receipt and on the actual application.
Mm, that is confusing. The deadline for voter registration is when?
April the 7th.
Okay. There's also the online.
Yes.
Where people can go to, and I pulled it up here because we were trying to help out. I don't know whether you heard it, the lady that we had on the phone in the first, maybe about 30 minutes ago. And that is, IndianaVoters.com.
Right.
And you can register online, and I believe if you got a printer, you can print out the receipt.
You can. However, also remember, mm-hmm. you're required to have an ID. If you register online.
Oh.
Yes.
So if you register online, mm-hmm. you better have an ID when you show up on voter registration and they can, well, they're supposed to ask you for your ID anyway when right. you vote, but is there an extra thing where that address needs to match?
No. Not if you register online.
Okay. So you gotta make sure you register online. You gotta make sure that you have your voter ID. This will be the 10th year of voter ID here in Indiana because mm-hmm. we were the first ones here, but there may be people who are new to Indiana. So what is required in the voter ID? Because there may be people that are listening that are new to our state and aren't aware
sure,
of it.
Sure. Identification must be state issued.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You can use a passport.
Mm-hmm.
The requirements are a photo.
Right.
Of you, your mailing address, mm-hmm. and an expiration date.
Has to have an expiration date.
Must have an expiration
so,
date.
So, and it would include, obviously, an American passport.
Mm-hmm.
Does it also include our IDs for our military? I think, yeah.
Yes.
As long as it has an expiration date on
mm-hmm.
it.
Yep, and a photo.
And a photo.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have a
mm-hmm.
photo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now we get to the deadline for voter registration is April the
7th.
So that means the next day, April 8th, is the start of absentee and early voting.
That is correct.
So where has that Republican on the Marion County, election board decreed that we have to early vote?
Alrighty, well, there are three ways to early vote in Marion County, and the three kinds of absentee voting, which is early voting in Marion County, is you can in-person early vote, and that is in the clerk's office,
mm-hmm.
or you can mail in your application and request your ballot to be mailed to you, or you can request a traveling board.
What's a traveling board?
A traveling board is for someone that is confined to their home or to a nursing home or wherever they are at and cannot make it out to early vote
mm-hmm.
downtown in
mm-hmm.
the clerk's office
mm-hmm.
or to their polling location on election day. So what they need to do is anyone that is early voting
right.
must know or needs to know that they are required to fill out an application every time that they are requesting to vote absentee in Marion County.
All right, so basically when you early vote and come down to the city-county building to the clerk's office, you basically are absentee voting, so there's an extra piece of paperwork you've got to fill out.
Mm-hmm.
If
mm-hmm.
there are people listening that are homebound
mm-hmm.
or want to vote absentee by mail, how do they do that?
They can actually call the Marion County Clerk's Office and request an application to be mailed to mm-hmm. their home address or wherever they reside at.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that time, they will, after they request the application, they are to fill the application out and turn it back into the clerk's office, and then the election board will process that application.
239-1310 is after whose name is. You may have a question about as we gear up for the primary election. The primary is on Tuesday, May the 6th. The deadline to update your voter registration for the primary is Monday, April the 7th, the first day where you can request an absentee ballot or early vote is on Tuesday, April the 8th. All kind of stuff. 239-1310. 239-1310. When will we know, Myra Eldridge, team leader at the Marion County Clerk's mm-hmm. office? When will we know polling places? Cause you know, you all don't do the polling places. I hear that's somebody in the mayor's office that they lock up in the basement of the city-county building to come up with this stuff. When will we know if there have been any changes?
That is very true. The mayor's office actually has until April 7th.
Okay.
To submit the polling locations list to the Marion County Election Board.
One of the one of the question marks of a location that we kind of know about now is because of the situation at the Martin Luther King Multi-Service Center. You know, they're open now just for after school activities. In 2012, that was like 4 to 5 polling locations. Is the onus on the mayor's office to reach out to see whether that is open?
I actually have good news for you.
Oh.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
I have great news.
She's got great news.
That the MLK Center is going to remain a polling location for the primary election.
Myla comes up in here and makes news. Look. Beth White never came up in here and made news every so often. See, Myla comes
in
here.
Isn't that great news?
That's great news.
I was so happy when I got
okay.
that phone call.
All right, so if you voted at the Martin Luther King Center when Obama got in for the second time, you will be voting there this May.
That is correct.
In terms of the preparations, is it harder to staff up when we haven't done an election for a year?
You know what, Amos? We can always use co-workers. It takes about 3,000 people or more to actually run or conduct a good election in Marion County. So we are recruiting poll workers now. I would love to see or have a backup. It's always good. I've learned from being in the clerk's office and conducting 12 elections, including 2 special in Marion County, to have a surplus of people, right, trained people, or poll workers. So we would love to have people actually go to our website, right, which is ND.gov, okay, www.ND.gov /election, and register to be poll workers. You know, the pay, it's not a lot, but it's gas money. So inspectors are paid $110, right, for working the polls, and judges and clerks are paid $70 for working a full day.
So this is something where people can volunteer,
mm-hmm,
to give up one day of sitting at home and give up a day of watching The Price is Right, The View, C-SPAN, the soap operas, at Morning Joe, Al Sharpton Show.
Right.
You give that up, mm-hmm, for a day, the reruns of Law and Order, SVU. You give that up for a day.
Just for a day.
Just for a day.
One day.
And, you know, serve in the polling place, you know, bring a deck of cards.
Mm-hmm.
Meet people. There's plenty of food.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are always bringing out the food,
right,
that, you know, to help feed the poll workers.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a minimum age?
And also, you know what? Let's say this. Take part in democracy.
Okay.
All right. There is an age. Let me see. We have a poll worker program for students. And you can be actually as young, I believe, 16 years of age.
Okay.
And
they get you a free pass out of school?
Get you a free pass out of school.
Oh.
You get credit. You get a political experience. And you also get paid. So for 16 and 17-year-olds, we would love to have them call the election board at 327-5100,
hmm,
if they're interested in training to be a poll worker for the primary election on May the 6th.
See the things we've learned. All right, let me go to Anonymous right quick at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, I have it might be a silly question. What election, what offices are we voting for?
That's a great question.
That is a great question.
What are we voting on this time?
Oh, my gosh. There are so many offices that are going to be on the ballot.
Let's start with federal. What are the federal offices?
Federal, United States House of Representatives.
So that's Congress.
Yep.
No senator.
No senator.
Okay, just so Congress, yep, on the federal. On the state side.
State side, you have districts 29 and 31.
State Senate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that means if they're state senate, they're state representatives?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and state House of Representatives.
Okay.
All districts.
All right.
Or will be on the ballot.
Then we've got, we don't have all the statewide offices aren't until the fall.
Right.
Okay. Then county offices.
County assessor.
Okay.
Marion County auditor, Marion County clerk, Marion County prosecutor, recorder, sheriff, and Marion County. We have 16 Marion County Superior Court judges that will be on the ballot.
And then are there township races?
Yes, there are. There are township trustee races,
okay,
constable,
okay,
and also small claims judges will be on the ballot as well.
All right. Anonymous, that help you?
That did help. Thank you so very much.
You're quite welcome. And then I understand we have in Marion County one referendum, and that's down in Decatur Township?
That is correct, yeah.
And that's for, that's schools need some money.
The school needs some money.
And but that does not include people who live in the area where kids are still being bused, it's not a lot of them, down to Decatur Township. This is just within Decatur Township proper.
That's right.
See, that gets confusing. 239-1310, 239-1310's afternoon's name is Will. Take a break. We'll be back with our remaining moments with Myla Eldridge. Also, coming up at the bottom of the hour, the executive director of the Indiana Utility Regulatory Commission. We'll talk with her live because they done told Citizens Energy, y'all done messed up the bills. We gonna investigate. I got listeners gonna told them that 4 years ago. It's afternoons with Amos after these. And hey, the phone number, if you want to sign up to work the polls on election day, it's paid. It's some money. Okay. 327-5100, 327-5100, 327-5100, or you can go online to indy.gov/elections. With an S on the end. Indy.gov/elections. And, you know, work the polls. It may be that a poll that is in your neighborhood, needs people. So don't assume that you work this and they would send you, you know, onto the far end of the county. It might be somewhere literally, right around, the corner from you. One of the I know there were some laws that were changed last year. One of them has to do with how absentee ballots are counted. People have been used the last several elections to see, you know, people bring in the absentee ballots and the absentee ballots counted in the precincts with the poll workers. That's not the case this year.
No, that's not the case this year. Last year's, state legislatures once again decided that we need to do a central count.
Okay.
And what that requires is that the ballots will be counted at a central location, which will be at the Election Board Service Center.
Do we have, so when they say they will be counted at this central location, does that mean that, let's say for the sake of the argument, there's 3,000 absentee ballots, that somebody's going to sit there with 3,000 ballots and feed them one by one into the electric machines? Is that what they mean by a central count?
That is what they mean by a central count. What we're doing now is actually recruiting bipartisan teams. Mm-hmm. So you'll have a Republican and a Democrat that will actually count the ballots like the clerks did at a polling location in past elections.
And that count would start at 5 minutes after 6 o'clock, or nobody knows yet. So if the media is reporting on it, if I'm sitting here and live blogging the election and looking at the website, we won't know or have any indication when absentee ballots get injected into the process.
What will happen is we will have teams that will deliver a list to the polling locations, and once those the clerk and the judge and the inspector at those polling locations have actually gone through the list and checked off the absentee ballots that they have received, then those ballots will actually be counted, or the list will come back. They'll deliver the list back to the Election Board Service Center. We will have teams there waiting to count the ballots.
Wait. Let me see if I understand this. When the polls, to make sure that nobody votes absentee and then they forgot they voted absentee and show up at the polling place. Let me see if I understand this. They will send list of the absentees to each precinct. Mm-hmm. Then when that precinct closes at 6 o'clock, how will they know that somebody didn't show up at like 5:45 and voted? Do we know? You see my point? I was trying to figure out whether they do that during the day or they got to wait until the polls close. Do we know?
Aaron
is here.
Hi.
Because this is one of these new wrinkles in the law.
Yeah, it's a little, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
The poll workers, when they pick up their materials the Saturday before the election, they're going to have a list of all of the poll workers who have, or I'm sorry, of all of the voters who have voted early up until about Friday before the election.
All right.
So those poll workers that morning when they open up their precinct are going to check all of those voters out of their book.
Right.
Later in the day, a bipartisan team is going to bring additional names of people who have voted early over, voted absentee over the weekend.
All right.
And then the poll workers are going to check them off the book.
Okay.
Then those bipartisan teams have to go and secure a list of everyone who has confirmed that they've been marked out of the poll book as voted absentee. Going to take that list back to the service center, and then we can start counting those ballots. But the exact time that will happen is
so it is conceivable that even though the absentee ballots are sitting downtown at the actually the service center close to where the old RCA factory used to be over on Sherman Drive, that it won't be until 8 or 9 o'clock that absentee ballots would start to be counted.
That is very possible.
We're planning for it not to be, but this is brand new. There are a lot of variables. So we've got a lot of things in play to help make sure that won't happen, but it is a new year, so.
So if I've got to stay up till 2 and 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning and not know the next day who the winner of close races are, I can blame the Republican member of the Marion County. Myla has to be nice. I don't have to be. Blame that so-and-so for this train wreck that I feel. Even Chris senses a train wreck. Let me go quickly to Anonymous. Hi there.
I have a question, okay? I have a 17-year-old that would be 18 in June, the first part of June. Will she be able to vote in May, or does she have to wait until the fall?
She'll have to wait until the fall.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me go to Tony right quick. Hi, Tony.
Hey, I was just listening to something. The lady was talking about her 18-year-old. Okay, you can be 16 years of age, but you can't vote.
You can be 16 and 17 and work at the polling place.
And work, but you can't vote. Wow.
Well, that's called the United States Constitution.
You have to be 18.
The United States.
Another thing. Yeah. Let me see. I had a question. Oh, if you're working for the polls, when are you able to vote?
Ah, great question. And does that depend on whether you're at your own polling place or not? When do you get to vote?
Inspectors are required to be at least 18 years of age.
Okay. On if you're working at the polls, when do you get to vote?
Absentee voting. Most people that work the polls vote absentee unless they are working at their their polling.
Thank you, Tony. Will we have new voting machines this year? Somebody asked.
No, we will not have new voting machines this year.
We're not ready.
No, we'll still have the M100.
Which is the slide it through.
And the Ivotronic.
And the Ivotronic are for people that need special assistance?
Sure.
We're going to be using both sides of the ballot?
Pretty sure we will be. I think there are like 385, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, 345.
Oh, because one of the other things that's on the ballot for each party, because this is a primary, so Democrats are voting for Democrats, Republicans are voting for Republicans, are delegates to, what is it, the state convention and people who want to be precinct committee people.
Democratic precinct committee people are up for election this year, and then delegates for, the state convention.
So this is so people are going to need to, worry about the ballot being, they got to turn it over.
Yes.
Both sides.
Which is always important anyway, because you could have judicial candidates on the backside of the ballot card, too. So it's always good to flip your ballot over and check it anyway. So, we actually, like I said, we have 345 names that will be on the ballot.
All right. So all of that and more is upcoming, right? All right. So if people want more information for the election, they can call the election board at 327-5100, 327-5100, or they can go online to indy.gov/elections, indy.gov/elections. That it?
That is correct. Thank you.
All right. She is Myla Eldridge. She is a team leader in the Marion County Clerk's Office. She's been there for 8 years, and her part-time job is running as the Democratic candidate for Marion County Clerk. We'll have her back in April for the candidate part of the interview, but she's here right now serving all the people, representing Marion County Clerk Beth White. Myla, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Amos.
Glad to have you.